This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's Friday. Hallelujah. We made it. Thank you. Thank you for having me with you. Thank you for letting me off. Thank you for being with me. Don't know what you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you do it and that you do it with me. All right? If you've been following, you know that we've been going through the series of the HMBS Flamingo. This morning, we're going to take a small twist. We are still going to be addressing the incident that we now know to be the fateful Flamingo incident. And it happened May 10, 1980. I know some of you are going to say, well, Jesus, Lee, when the day is May 21st. But whether it is May 10th, 11th, 21st, 29th, 30th, whether it is not May at all, we must always remember the sacrifice towards nation building. And for whatever it is worth, 40 years later, Mr. Peterson James just pointed out to me that if it happened in May 80, you can't count May 80. You have to actually start counting from there. So I guess he contends that it ought to be the 40th anniversary. But notwithstanding, 41 years ago, for whatever the reason, men died in defense of this country. And it is my hope that we do more in the development of a nation to continue to remember the sacrifices of people that have actually given for country, whether it was just true national service or in the instance of the four Marines, whether it was with life. And I noticed during my series that there has been some people that have actually began the journey towards memorializing the sacrifice of those men. I have in studio with me this morning probably the most cultural religious leader that I am aware of, definitely of my time. You may know him. He is well known throughout our society. Father Sebastian Campbell is in studio with me this morning. Father, how are you?
Very well, sir. We're in the hard morning. Thanks for the opportunity to be able to share.
You look good, as a matter of fact. You are one of those people that, for as long as I've known you, have not aged.
Wow.
Yeah, you look exactly the way that you looked when I was a high school child.
That's probably my Cat Island genes. Time to wake hard and keep going.
Wow. So, Father Campbell, we know that for a long time you have been around trying to ensure that national honors is something that we pay special attention to. I know that you along with your counterparts, had actually done some work with the former Christie administration to get the national honors to be an actual thing. I notice now that you are going a bit further. Sunday pass, if my information is correct, you actually held what would be considered the beginning of what is hoped to be a red mass in honor of the HMBS Flamingo. Tell us about how did you get to that?
Well, just to back up, to put it a bit in perspective,
mm-hmm.
our committee, which is known as the National Heroes Committee,
mm-hmm.
Was born during the time when Sir Lyndon Oscar Pinlan was prime minister.
Okay.
And we went through three prime ministers, Lyndon Oscar Pinlan, Hubert Ingraham, and Perry Christie, before we finally realized that was about 20 years,
mm-hmm.
realized our final goal, which was one, to have a National Heroes Day to celebrate heroes and somehow to put the Columbus Discovery Day within perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to do away with that as a holiday. That was part of our achievement.
Mm-hmm.
And also the majority rule to bring that into perspective as a holiday and the national honors, mm-hmm. to make national honors. Although there's still a way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But now the journey continues.
Okay.
It is never complete. And we have brought into focus the sinking of the HMBS Flamingo,
mm-hmm.
some 41 years ago.
Right.
And we have concluded, and any right-thinking Bahamian will agree, that we have not done enough
right.
in order to entrench May 10, 1980, within the very psyche, within the very annals of our Bahamian history.
Okay.
That indeed is a building block and something that should never be forgotten nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are on another campaign to elevate this important event within Bahamian history. And Sunday pass, we started, as you said, what we hope would continue to be an annual Red Mass,
okay.
which is really and truly a memorial in order to bring to national attention. Because let's face it, right now, what is being done in order to memorialize these people to entrench what happened on the 10th of May, 1980? There's simply just a ceremony
at
Coral Harbor, somewhere in the corner that nobody hears about. It isn't advertised. It's just something in-house, really and truly, with the Defense Force and the families of those persons who were killed in that tragedy and maybe some politicians.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to bring this to the full glare of national light, national perspective. And this is something that needs to be taught to our children, something that needs to be written about, something that needs to be studied by all our students from preschool straight on through to the University of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
It is important in entrenching nation building. And so we hope that what started Sunday might bloom. Ultimately, I am, as chairman, I'm trying to put together a committee.
Okay.
Persons who are willing to work with me. And at the same time, as we put together this committee, to feel questions and to feel opinions and ideas of what we can appropriately do in order to entrench this within our ongoing national life.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, we already have quite a few ideas, but we want to fine-tune these ideas so that we can come out with some product that everybody can be proud of. And one, of course, would be the national Red Mass that we started Sunday. We hope to entrench that.
Mm-hmm.
And look, we talk about Austin Smith. Look at the names right now. Austin Smith, David Tucker, Fenwick. Edward Williams, Fenwick Starrup,
yes.
who paid the ultimate price mm-hmm. in the defense of the sovereignty of this country. What have we done to entrench these four men as starters? What have we done? Right now, we have ideas, for example, that maybe we should have streets, prominent streets in the country
mm-hmm.
named after each of these men. Find a way to entrench that years to come when our children come along, they would ask, well, who was a Fendrick Starr when they drive on a Fendrick Starr highway, or Austin Smith, or David Tucker, Edward Williams, all right? Because right now we have streets, highways named in the Bahamas after politicians, after persons who've gone to the Olympics and brought back silver and gold. We are not taken from that. We are saying add to that.
Add to it.
All right? These guys, these men have given the ultimate, all right? And it's unfortunate that after 41 years, you know, there's not even a debate. There's not even a talk about it. Persons who gave their lives compared to persons who are in the Olympics, or persons who were politicians, or even on our currency. Mm-hmm. All right? Maybe the four of these persons who died on May 10, 1980, maybe they can be on our currency. They probably the four together with the HMBS Flamingo.
Mm-hmm.
This is a way to mark that occasion, entrench it. Something we did on Sunday that is very significant was that we separated the children.
Okay.
We put the children in a hall all by themselves.
Right.
And Captain Whitfield Neely.
Ah, yes.
Yes. He is now retired and is going on to Haiti.
Ambassadorship.
And the Dominican Republic as our ambassador.
Yeah, I know him well.
Yeah. He was the one who was on the rescue boat rescuing persons that day.
Mm-hmm.
And Neely came and Neely spent the Sunday with the children.
Okay.
Took over the Sunday school.
Okay.
All right? And the idea was to talk to the children at their level, let them ask questions, etc. Miller, that is a starting point.
Right.
If you do not sell this to the children, it will soon die.
Yes.
All right?
Because the men themselves are 60, mid-60s, approaching 70. Most of the men surrounding the issue, I've had with me Lord Roll. Let me shout him out this morning, who was with me last week. I think he says he's 74 now. And so we must remember that it was, in fact, 41 years ago. And as we progress in time, we continue to believe that time stands still. No, it's not.
Exactly.
These men are becoming aged men.
Mm-hmm.
And there is only one step after being an aged man. It's being a deceased man.
Yes.
And while we still have the fortune of having the actual words penned by the men that have lived it, I think that is something that we ought to invest national assets behind to ensure that it actually happens. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And people, you know, it's a short story if you ever hear it. It's something that took all of about one day. It's not like the Revolutionary War of 1776 that went on for a year.
Mm-hmm.
It literally was one day, yes. But when you think about the moving parts of the incident, the fact that these men were a part of a force that was in its infancy stage, who were members of a country that could arguably be in its infancy stage during the time of the attack.
Very much so.
We had not yet figured out nationhood. There were many things about nationhood that we didn't know. The politicians, the named ones now, the Sir Lyndon Pinlings, the Adie Hannahs, the Ellen Coakleys, while they went on to be men of great diglossity, at the time, these were cub politicians who had very little knowledge about the inner workings of international affairs, who had very little knowledge about the inner workings of CARICOM. They themselves were just, you know, entering into public life and that sort of stuff. And so this was, in fact, baptism by fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamas was only 6 years old. As a sovereign nation, as a commonwealth, as an independent commonwealth nation, and when you consider that we are now almost 50 years as a developing nation, and you consider the shortfalls we have with so many other things, 50 years later, can you imagine where these men would have been 41 years ago off Ragged Island? I can tell you now, with some of the best cell phone equipment in the world, it's difficult to get signal off of Ragged Island. So let's imagine what must have been the mindset 41 years ago. It's difficult to get radio communication down there. And these are the stories that must be told in a way so that it becomes tangible, so that people not only hear the story and it is like a whisper in the wind,
mm-hmm.
but when they hear it, the gravity of the incident rests upon them. And it is a solemn kind of feeling that is associated with it. That is what I hope to engender, hopefully over the course of the next couple of months.
And put it in context, 41 years ago, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have the modern, the invention. They were all
correct.
They're isolated in like Alice in the Wonderland, mm-hmm. all by themselves. Mm-hmm. But there's a point we too need to take up as well, is the one with the survivors.
Yeah.
We need to remember them.
Yes.
We need to find concrete ways in entrenching a way in order to, you know, to talk about them and to lift them up and to reward them. For example, many of them are still alive, thank
yes,
God.
Yes, yes. I think it's God. About 11 of them still living.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Cordell Farrington,
yes.
I think I got his name right.
Yes.
He is presently somewhere in Elutra. He's in Elutra.
Mm-hmm.
And the service we had on Sunday really awakened consciousness. I got a call from him shortly after the service.
Okay.
In order to tell me that he is struggling now to write a book.
Right.
All right? So we want to encourage him to write that book. And that we would do all we could in mm-hmm. order to push that book and to make that book, put that book in the hands of our children
mm-hmm.
in our schools and elsewhere. But, you know, it is my understanding that nothing has been done to reach out to these survivors,
mm-hmm.
all right? At a time when they need insurance, most, for example, next to none.
None of them have insurance.
Have insurance, yeah. Have health.
Not state provided, no.
Exactly.
Yeah. And many of them are now realizing the consequences of the incident mm-hmm. as they age, right? So when they were younger men, they didn't realize that being shot had, you know, repercussions.
Yeah, repercussions way down the road.
And so some of them actually do suffer from medical issues.
Mm-hmm.
We know that 1980s was a completely different world. So mental health and PTSD was a thing that didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you was either crazy or not crazy. And we put you in one of the box and we keep moving forward.
Uh-huh.
And so even it always concerns me. Not many of them. Well, not all of them. But there are still one or two of them that you begin to talk to them about the incident and you can hear their voice begins to well up. And mm-hmm. this is 40 years later.
Absolutely.
And the question mm-hmm. is, have we revisited the psychology of these men? Some of them have gone on to be wonderful, family men, of course. Some of them have gone on to even be, men of spirituality and have gone on to do wonderful works in the name of, you know, missionary work of the gospel. But I don't know if we even invested enough in checking on the human. And I think that is also something that we ought to invest some time and some money into, just to make sure, just to be sure that these men were not so affected in a way that they have infected other people in a way that's negative.
The evidence shows that we have not reached out to these men. That mm-hmm. the evidence shows. But what needs to happen is it is not too late to do something good.
Mm-hmm.
While we still have these men with us in the flesh, reach out to these men. We need to make up. You know, these men really and truly, they went through a traumatic
mm-hmm.
experience, all at the cost of protecting the country. All right. And then by extension, this will help us to view what we are doing with the rest of those men and women who are on the defense force now. What is there to reach beyond that which we are doing right now? And I've heard some fantastic stories
mm-hmm.
of what these men had to do in order to cope soon after the incident and long after the incident.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You talk about the medical side. I guess the most crushing side was the mental side.
The mental side.
Yeah. You know, the mental effect that would have on them for the rest of their lives.
And some of it was visible. I mean, you know, we can pretend, but we know that some of the men that we served beside, because a few of them were actually still active duty when I was in service, right? And so you could tell from their deportment that this thing never left them. Some of them actually, you could just see it in their eye, right? And so, like you said, we can act as though we didn't know. Cladwell Farrington accounts that Dusty Miller kept the T-shirt that he was attacked in until the day he died. He never let it go. And mm-hmm. people say, oh, well, maybe it was just, for memorabilia. No, imagine mm-hmm. the trauma associated you never know where the man's mind was. Of course, he's deceased now, but you never know where the man's mind was mm-hmm. for 40 years or 38 years before his meeting his demise. And I think national service is something that ought to be selfless, right? So absolutely. When you pledge or attest to serve country, you do so never expecting that you will gain anything. But when men pour on the ground their all, I imagine a grateful nation ought to come and bow its knee to these men. And I don't understand how we have so flippantly allowed it to kind of just dwindle by for the 40 years that it has.
That tends to be a part of our DNA as a country, unfortunately. You know, we allow so many incidents, so many historical events just to evaporate, just to fade away. The 26th of May, for example, 1926. Anybody knows what happened on that day? That's a historical day in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. As far as Cat Island and San Salvador, Watlins Island, Guanahani are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And now that is just gone. We don't do anything with these days that are important to us. And we're still in that habit in our schools, and I call upon the Ministry of Education, where we are preferring foreign history over and above Afro-Bahamian history.
Mm-hmm.
One of the objectives of our National Heroes Committee was, and still is, because it hasn't been fully achieved, was to teach Afro-Bahamian history, evolving Afro-Bahamian history, to all our children in all our schools. And that is not happening even to this day.
Mm.
I was talking with someone from the University of the Bahamas, for example, and I made reference to the 10th of January, 1967. And they asked me, what's so special about that?
Yeah, they have to feel through their mind for it.
Yeah, what's so special about that?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to educate them mm-hmm. what the 10th of January, 1967. This is the University of the Bahamas.
Mm.
All right? We will soon lose all the significance of all these important dates if we are not careful.
Right.
And the Ministry of Education needs to be more foremost, more utmost in pushing these and making sure these happen. Early in our days as a National Heroes Committee, I wouldn't call any names who the Minister of Education was then, a group from my committee went in order to address these same issues. And they say, Afro-Bahamian history over my dead body, you know? But at the same time, you're teaching all the British history.
Right.
All right? And all this thing, but the kings and queens and the wars of England, etc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it should wake us up to this consciousness that we are not doing enough in order to preserve this Bahamas for generations, probably even yet unborn.
And what is fascinating to me, Father Gamble, is I have to admit I have a bias, right? And so sometimes I am troubled because I think we are even now in our third wave of honoring of national heroes, right? And people say, well, you know, if they're national heroes, they will eventually make the list. I'm hard-pressed to understand. How is it that every surviving member of that crew is not Order of the Nation or one of those more prominent titles, even the ones posthumously?
Mm-hmm.
Not a single member of the HMBS Flamingo has made the national honor.
Unfortunately, the national honors is not going according to what we had intended.
Mm.
I am one of the architects of the national honors system in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not allowed to play an active part within that system for the past 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The intention was to go and look for these persons who are legends,
mm-hmm.
who are heroes of our country, and to promote them to ranks and to use them as teaching opportunities and to advance the government, the possibilities of naming roadways and buildings, etc., after these persons.
Mm-hmm.
For the committee to go out into the highways and hedges, into the Auckland's Crooked Island, Long Keys, Cat Islands, these places that we don't even think about mm-hmm. at this level, and look for those persons, all right? Entrench those persons, all right? If the committee worked the way it was intended to work, all right? Persons like the four men who who died on May 10, 1980, would have had a higher elevation.
Yeah.
That was the intention of the National Honors Committee. And I, as one of the architects of the National Honors Committee, I can say from the depths of my soul, that was intended, and that is not being done right
now. Not yet realized.
A committee sits in Nassau and sends out advertisements
right.
by way of radio and maybe television.
Right. It's like America's Next Top Model. That's kind of what it looked
that
like.
That was
beneath.
Never intended.
Yeah.
The committee is to go out and look for these poisons and then advance these poisons.
But it also, Father Gamble, speaks to the shallow understanding of the committee itself. And I do not say that in any way coy. I want them to be offended, right? There is no way you could have established a National Honors Committee. You could have listed people on a National Honors Committee. You put a living, sitting prime minister on a National Honors list. Yet, it never, ever resonates in your mind. As the chairpersons or the committee that is responsible for naming people, that names like Amos Rule ought to have been on it. When every single account given by police officers, civilian, news people, and the Marines, because it's easy to say the Marines under his charge had a level of loyalty to his command, and so they attest that he was the perfect commander. But that's not the case. The civilians that ran into Amos Rule said, listen to me, even under gunfire, that man was always in command. He never lost command.
Never abandoned
his ship. As a matter of fact, Captain Neely now accounts that Amos Rule was on the ship until she was on her way down. Mm-hmm. Lord Rule, who sat in studio with me last week, said when we got in Ragged Island, there was no guessing that Amos Rule was in command. And for whatever it is worth, I mean, we have people around here, if they open up a bag of Cheetos, we give them a national honor.
I agree with you.
And I can't understand, how does a National Honors Committee expect for its citizenry to take them seriously when you say to me, people like Gladwell Farrington are not honors of the nation? When you say to me, people like Peterson James are not honors of the nation? I know men that have trained at some of the highest level who bow their knees in reverence to people like Peterson James because of the inculcation he has departed or has entrenched in their lives, right? Yet these men walk around invisible.
The story needs to be told. That's the problem. And we stop telling the story. So if you want to provide opportunities to keep that story as current as possible, whereby at least year by year, and I congratulate what you're doing, probably the whole month of May ought to be declared HMBS Flamingo a month.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because it needs that attention, and our children can learn so much from this, you know, in terms of nationalism and pride, etc. So much can be learned from this. We don't have to go and reinvent the wheel. It is there. Let's run with it. And the whole list of all those men, all those Marines, deserve some kind of a special attention.
Yeah.
All right, special honors. Names ought to be attached somewhere, you know.
I like to call their name, Father Campbell. Let me give you the name of the entire crew list. The entire crew list that day, May 10th, 1980, the now infamously famous, fateful HMBS Flamingo crew is Lieutenant Commander Amos Rule. He's deceased. Sub-Lieutenant Anthony Allen, who is now Captain Anthony Allen, very much alive. Wilfred Sands, deceased. Peterson James, very alive. Denzel Clark, very alive. Gregory Curry, very alive. Oscar Dusty Miller, deceased. Willard Sanders, alive. Trevor Sands, Whitfield Neely, A.K. Anthony Russell, because a lot of people don't know his name is Anthony, they just know him as A.K. Russell, very alive. Leo Kirby, now deceased. John Wallace, Cladwell Farrington, Eugene Blue Thompson, also men that are very alive and walking among us. Yet, unnoticed, like whispers in the wind, right? And then, of course, there is the four fatal, right? Frederick Sturrup, David Tucker, Austin Smith, Edward Williams. And in all fairness, the command of the Defense Force have named ships in their honor eons ago. Those ships have been decommissioned eons ago. And they were never new ships, by the way, right? They were never new ships. Those were ships that we got from the U.S., right? And we have spent $200+ million. I have written to this effect, right? We have named ships every Christ thing, you could name them Kamalami and all kind of other
names. Yeah,
nonsense,
some strange
right?
names there.
But we have not, even if you say, okay, we've already named ships after the four deceased. What about the men that lived? What about the men that lived with the trauma? Would it not have been a wonderful honor to have said, we now have the HMBS Eugene Thompson? Mm-hmm. Because not only did the man serve in the Flamingo, he was also one of those very instrumental people throughout the rest of his career after the trauma. There are many, many people that are in service today that will tell you they know what they know because they learned it from Blue Thompson. Mm-hmm. And nothing. And you know, you kind of wonder, how do these men themselves not live with bitterness when they consider their almost fate? And I think a nation ought to consider that in the distribution of its national honors.
Absolutely. And just let me drive home the point one step beyond the national honors is some medical care for these men. At this stage, they need medical care.
Yes.
This stage in their lives. That is something that can be moved on immediately. Mm-hmm. All right. I know them. I know some of them personally. And as we age, definitely we are more in need of medical care. And their experience, their work with the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, especially what has happened that day, would be partly responsible for their mental deterioration and their ailments.
Yeah.
All right. And so, as a grateful nation, that is one thing we can do immediately. You know what medical care costs right now, and these guys are not working?
Mm-hmm.
All right? And that's one way we can reach out. We can reach out immediately to them.
Yeah.
All right?
Father Gamble, I have some phone calls on the line. Put those headphones on for me. And let's see if we could take a couple of these phone calls. Alan, can you open the line for me? Let's go. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I am wonderful, wonderful. It's always interesting to listen to this program. But I don't think my boy Levon heard a word I said to him last week. I gave, and there's obviously a big missing piece of this puzzle. It is missing. That's the reason why we keep asking these questions. And 41 years has gone by, and a sitting prime minister tried his best to erase that day. Mm-hmm. You'll never sit down and question why I didn't say that is happening, really happening.
Mm. But I mean,
I gave you some snippets last week.
You did.
But I gave you so far so you could go to whoever was around that kind of time, like the prime minister's office, Mr. Christie, who tried to erase that, and sit with him and ask him what really happened.
Mm.
There was something really that really happened. Some of the young Marines don't know. They probably didn't even know. But if you could find the guy who was on the bridge, who was at the wheel, he may have an idea as to what happened. That's why the Cuban fighters passed first. They did their checks, just like we did in the United States Air Force, and they came back and they opened fire on that vessel. That's as far as I can.
Mm.
You should be able to think.
I've been doing some legwork.
Yes, why they opened fire on that vessel. It was a reason why they did that.
Mm.
Now, you all need to find out what it is, because the Americans know. And guess what? It's a travesty that the Bahamian government has not came to the Bahamian people and tell them exactly what happened that day. That's why you're saying what you're saying. They ain't honoring their men. It's almost like whatever happened that day, because they know and they're hiding it, it went down in shame. And they're trying to cover that.
Mm.
Now, you all need to go find it out.
All right, caller. Appreciate it.
Good. All right.
323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Let's take another one, Ali. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hi, LaVon. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
All right. Pretty good. Captain. Sebastian Campbell, how you doing, sir?
Very well, sir.
This is JT calling in.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I would love to speak with you off air regarding something you said earlier in the show, and I'll expound with you expound that with you a little later in terms of naming roadways, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
In honor of our Bahamian heroes. I mean, I'm one of those persons who's been championing that for the longest. So I'll talk with you in more in detail off here on that point. But what I'd like to say, Levon, that was a very interesting and somewhat sobering call you just had. The first time I heard that young man say, or anybody say, what he was alluding to. But, you know, one of the things I would say is, no matter what the reason as to why our Defense Force boat was attacked and sunk. The fact is the Hayman Defense Force officers still lost their lives. They didn't ask to be killed, but they, of course, volunteered for a service that they knew what the ultimate risk was. That was the first and only time in our country's history, of course, as an independent nation, that we've had such an experience, and pray God it never repeats itself. But I am all in support of acknowledging and honoring the sacrifice to this nation and for this nation that those four men who lost their lives ultimately made, but all 19 of those officers made in service to this country. You cannot pay somebody for a life lost. You can only honor them, respect them, and regard them. And whatever may or may not have been the reason as to why our boat was attacked, it was an invasion on the sovereign territory of the Bahamas by Cuba. Mm-hmm. That was an act of war. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I want to see, at the end of the day, those all of those Defense Force officers, living and dead, their families and all those who are alive, be given some kind of a national recognition, honor, et cetera, and some kind of a financial benefit, not reward per se, but benefit, because they earned it. And what I would like to suggest, gentlemen, is if it's possible, Father Campbell, maybe we can somehow, Bahamians in the Bahamas and throughout the world, maybe could start a HMBS Flamingo Memorial Endowment Fund, wherein we can raise, say, about $10-15 million, just putting a hypothetical figure out there, and put that in a bond or some kind of an investment opportunity, the interest of which would be used for the purpose of supporting those Defense Force officers who are still alive, those ones who would have died naturally, and those who would have died in the incident, and of course, for any future incident that may happen in the future, that such a fund like that would be in existence for the benefit and the purpose, rather, of supporting our fallen heroes. I cannot and will never accept abandoning the men and women who sacrificed themselves in service and in death for this country. That is inexcusable. So what do you gentlemen think about that idea that I just mentioned about an HMBS Flamingo Memorial Endowment Fund? And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Okay.
But Father Campbell?
Yes, sir. Do
you have a cell number that you can leave on air or with your producer or something that I may reach you after the show?
Off air. Okay.
Okay, I'll call the producer in the studio for it. Thank you.
Let me read a couple of these text messages, Father Campbell. It says, shout out to Marine Seaman Maynard Miller, Government Ground Crusader. Crusaders never die, and that is from Jeff Fowler. Good morning, leaving in guests. Where did it go? Sorry. Don't think many appreciate the Flamingo was a combat situation. Being shot at or fired upon from a MiG is some serious stuff. This person here says, hey, it's amazing how persons who preach, persons who in business teach it, who are in business, teachers are given national honors, but those persons on the Flamingo, who people must not forget, were killed by war jets from a foreign country while patrolling and protecting this nation, are not national heroes. Wow. And that is kind of where they really get me tickled, kind of yellow with it, right? Because, man, I tell you, you know, if a fella opened two envelopes back to back, we give him a national honor. To be shot at is one thing. To be shot at out to sea is an entirely different thing. To be shot at out to sea from a plane, I mean, for goodness sakes, you know, these men, we should drape them in every honor that we ever create in this country. Every time we create a new honor, just give them one automatic, mm-hmm. and then we can figure out who else should get one after them. It's kind of how I feel about it. And I know that the National Heroes Committee have put great work into the establishment of the National Heroes Committee. I remember as a boy... them talking about the national honors, and to live to manhood, to see it actually become a thing, but then to see it and cheapened in the way that it has been, right? Mm-hmm. You wonder to yourself, is it in fact something to aspire towards? Is it in fact something to ever look toward? Because the truth is, you can call me a national hero. I mean, but if Louis Lump could make the list, then am I in fact...
Okay, water it down.
Right. Am I in fact a national hero? Mm-hmm. And so those are some of the things, I think, Father Campbell, that kind of ought to be looked at, particularly when we consider the honoring of the sacrifice of these men. Another text right here says, I know the men were young when they met their demise, but were any of them fathers? Yes, I think Edward Williams was the only one that had fathered children at the time. Let's take another call. Good morning, call. You're on. Call, you there? Let's take another one, Ali. Good morning, call. You're on. Call, you there? Nope. What's happening? Good morning, call. You're on.
Good morning. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. And you're a great guest there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Campbell, you was a part of a national majority rule day, and then you became you were on the committee for the national honors. Sir, what do you think much of those kids? They're shooting themselves, destroying themselves, they left guns and stuff like that. What do you think of national service?
Absolutely, national service is long overdue.
Well, what I'm trying to say is just say how you were on those committees and you're instrumental and been pulling them off, then why don't you show that same enthusiasm in getting national service to take place?
I just wondered why we are so slow in it. I heard your point. We're trying to put together a committee right now, and maybe we can continue the fight.
Well, you see what you're saying? Maybe we can continue to fight. I want you, with that same enthusiasm that you got the rest of those committees to do, to put national service just like that.
You have to take into account Father Campbell is an aging man himself now.
I need more help. I need more help.
That's true. But service the country is what? Thanks for letting me share, man.
Appreciate it, caller. Someone here is saying, good morning, Mr. Miller. Tell the government to pay the veterans their monies they've been owed for 4 years. Y'all pay the veterans the money y'all owe them for 4 years. Father Campbell, I got to take a brief intermission here. I forgot to say a special shout out to a friend of mine. It was her birthday. I don't know how I forget it. Must be because I get noly. So I want to say a special happy birthday shout out to Raven Jamie Simone Grandy. I tell you, I can call your whole government name. All right? Okay, Raven Jamie Simone Grant. Happy birthday, my dear. All the way in Canada, she listens to me.
Wow.
Yeah, and so this is a much different world, right? It's definitely not 1980.
Very small world now.
Definitely not 1980. So happy birthday wherever you are. I know you're all still locking on and things like that. Well, don't feel bad, because the Prime Minister locking us down next. All right, so happy birthday, my dear. I hope you enjoy it, and have a wonderful time. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, there?
Yes, I am.
You're on. You're live.
Good morning, Mr. Miller, and to your guest.
Hey, I know this voice.
The caller before your caller, I think it was JT you were speaking to.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean to insult your guest as he's speaking to him, but I wish they would leave our brothers and let them rest in peace. Everybody seems to be digging them up only when they have a righteous cause.
Mm-hmm.
That caller that called before to say that that there has to be a reason, and that when we find out, then we'll know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I'd appreciate he put on a uniform, stand on the wall, do his portion of the duty. And if he can do that, then I have no qualm with him expressing that kind of sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're going to make wild accusation about men and women who volunteered, we're not doing anything special, as you would put it. Yes, we volunteered. We received a salary. We offered to sacrifice our lives. And yes, I want to say to your guests, if for 25 years, they didn't honor the men who gave them majority rule, do you think they're going to honor men who paid the ultimate sacrifice of dying for their country? I leave that with him. I understand he's one voice crying in the wilderness, and I applaud him for it, but he must also take into account these people do not care. And while that is their right, we volunteered to live and die for our country. We did it with honor and with dignity. But I do not appreciate that caller. I'm trying to cast aspersion as to why the men on the Flamingo died. Tell them, put on a uniform, take up a weapon, and stand on the wall. Good day.
Thank you very much. Let's take another one. Good morning, caller. You're on. Call you there? Not there. Let's take another one, Ali. I gotta let Father Campbell wrap up. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Yes. Hey, Mr. Miller.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
Mr. Campbell, how are you?
Morning.
Now, that's one of the last things that the Honorable Pendleton tried to do. Start a national youth service. He said, you're paid now, but you're paid down the road. But after not carrying so bad, he dropped it. And getting back to that day, like December 7th is always going to promise to have a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the world know that.
Mm-hmm.
We dropped the ball. Like, Lieutenant Commander, whatever ranking he left the force on, that base was named after him.
Mm-hmm.
He served after, I don't know if it was that bad. Traumatized, I'd see them, I've been to a few air shows. Them, those war jets eat the sound up. They terrorize you by watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Until they have live bombs to kill you. And then the next day, they follow you and terrorize all people because of you. PTSD, them people, those guys have PTSD bad. Because they literally, the war jets is trying to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And if any man or woman be into an air show for fun, your heartbeat race to see that air
just F-15, to hear them. Just hearing them is thunderous.
And they terrorize the sound barrier. I mean, they literally make your heart beat. It's like three times a go in a NASCAR.
Yeah. I appreciate you, Robert. We got to go. Father Campbell, give me your last 30 seconds. We're almost out of time.
Let's declare May 10th every year as a day of national observance.
Mm-hmm.
We're not asking for a holiday. A day of national observance. You don't have to wait for the government.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that now. Asking the Ministry of Education to make special assemblies happen on that day to bring this event to our children. Asking all workplaces out there to make that a special day, to wear T-shirts, etc., etc. And let us, as a nation, observe it as a national day of observance. We can have speech competitions. We can have essay competitions. We can have any number of things. But I ask you to help me. Let's elevate this day to a day of national observance. And I call upon the church to help us, please, in bringing this to the fore as we ought at all times. And the Sunday, the third Sunday in May, help us to make that a day for the memorials, the red masses, to happen in all our churches.
Mm.
Let us go in this together and let us use this as a building block as we continue to show the kind of respect that we ought to our heroes that have not been recognized as they ought to this point.
Thank you very much for joining us. Father Sebastian Campbell has been my guest. I don't need to introduce him any further than that. You know him well. It's Friday. I say it every Friday. Do everything you can not to kill anybody. Do even more to ensure that nobody don't kill you. And I'll see you back here on Tuesday.